Good evening. Good to see you all this evening. Hope you had a wonderful day, and here we are tonight, and so wonderful that we can always open up the Word of God and just find a word there that will just bring encouragement, hope to our daily lives. Amen. And here we are tonight, and I just hope and pray that what is shared will bring that hope into your heart. So with that, why don't we bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us into this place. Lord, it is not by chance or by coincidence. I believe, Father, that you have ordained something, Lord, that we have come into this place to have an encounter with you. It is by your ever-loving kindness that you draw us, and I pray that we would see love displayed through your word here tonight. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, and that he will be the one to guide us into all truth. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's presentation is called Signs, Signals, and Warnings. Signs, Signals, and Warnings. The U.S. News and World Report, there was a poll that revealed that 60% of Americans believe that the world eventually ends. Okay, at some point, may not necessarily be in their lifetime, but they believe that at some point in the future, the world is going to end. Now, Newsmax recently wrote, if you mix the morning headlines into the average American's eschatology, you stir up a powerful brew. Now, doesn't it seem like over the last, let's say 15, 16 years, that it's been one crisis after another. There's been one disaster after another, from wars, plagues, storms, riots, killings. Life on planet Earth has been anything but business as usual. And the question is, are we at a tipping point? Is the grand finale of life on Earth about to play out before our eyes? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard of Planet Nibiru? Anybody? Oh, there's one. Any others? Planet Nibiru. Maybe you may have heard it as Planet X. Anybody ever heard Planet X? Okay, so there's a couple more hands. All right. Planet Nibiru or Planet X. Now, this is a supposed existence of a mysterious planet ostensibly hidden from our view. Now, this is what's amazing, is that this is supposedly this planet, this big rock, okay, that's coursing through outer space that is hidden from our view, and the explanation is that it's perhaps hidden behind the sun or something of that nature, or even somehow invisible. Now, here's what is interesting, and this is quite comical, in that there are people that cannot prove the existence of this planet Nibiru or this planet X, and therefore, yet they believe that it plays some role into the end time finale and grand climax, ultimately ending in the destruction of planet Earth. Now, some, and I place that emphasis on the word some, have said that the Earth will be hit or would be hit by this planet, and that it would have happened by the end of 2012. Now, the actual concept of the planet called Nibiru was first brought to our attention by the late author Zachariah Sitchin in his book, The 12th Planet. And it was based on his interpretation of an ancient Sumerian text that had this massive object coming back to Earth's neighborhood every 3,600 years or so. And so Sitchin's book was published and translated into dozens of languages and sold millions of copies. And the unbelievable thing is that there are millions of believers in the existence of Nibiru. Now, the date of impact was predicted many years ago as late 2012. And a few nights ago, we got into the Mayan calendar a bit, and of course, that date of 12-21, 2012 was supposed to be the end of the calendar, and therefore the end of Earth's existence, and so on. And what they were beginning to do is they were beginning to correlate this planet Nibiru with the Mayan calendar, and that was what was going to bring on the end of Earth. Now, these Planet X believers had reckoned that it would barge its way through the solar system, making a beeline for Earth, causing massive strains of strains on its gravity and culminating in earthquakes, volcanic activity, and ultimately destruction. The New York Post wrote in 2010, according to many, the Planet X flyby will trigger a cosmic train wreck that will kill most of Earth's population. Now, the problem is that there is nothing up in the sky that gives indication that there is or was going to be a cosmic collision in 2012. Now, this is something that I find very difficult to understand and to grasp. The concept that there are millions of people that will put that their trust into something that they cannot see, something that cannot be proven in this invisible planet or this planet that is supposedly hidden from our view, and they believe it to have an effect upon what's going to take place here in our world, and yet ultimately rejecting what the Bible clearly states. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because the enemy is a master distractor. And this is something that we have to understand when it comes to what the enemy is doing. And it's almost like have you ever, you know, as a kid or whatever, you know, got into a fight or whatever, and what you do is you try to raise up that left arm, right? And they think that you're going to come at them with that left arm, but what do you do? You hit them with the right, right? And so it's that distraction, and I believe that this is what the enemy is doing, is ultimately he's lifting up that left hand and thinking that something is going to be coming from this left hand, but ultimately everything's coming from the right. And this is what I'm trying to say, is that ultimately as we look at the pages of Scripture, God tells us to focus in a certain direction. But what the enemy is doing is he's saying, no, focus over here. And as we begin to focus over here, then we forget about what's happening over here and what God is doing over here, or what the Bible said would take place. And so we are distracted by all of these things that the enemy is bringing our way, rather than looking at the Word of God and what it's telling us. Now, in regards to this planet Nibiru and how there are many people that believe that there's this big rock that's heading towards Earth, and I may perhaps conclude that I know that what some of you might be thinking. And you remember the story of the image? Well, let me tell you, of Daniel chapter 2, that rock right there is not planet Nibiru, okay? It is not planet X. All right, and so as we dealt with this here on the second night, which was Saturday night, and so if you were not here on Saturday night, you're welcome to take the notes. Those notes are available out there outside on the registration table, and you'll find out a little bit more as to what that's all about. But what we've concluded so far in our presentations is that there is someone whose prophecies have all come true, every last one of them. And someone who can tell us exactly how the world is going to end and whether it's going to end soon or last for thousands of more years. Now, it should be no surprise to learn that the one who made this world, the one who was there at its beginning, is also the one who knows how it will end. And friends, Jesus Christ, the God of creation, through His Word, can take us into the future, and He is our reliable guide. Now, who could know more about the end of the world than the one who began it? The Bible tells us about an interesting event in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was preaching a sermon on the signs of his return, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is the chapter that we're going to be spending most of our time in here this evening. And the signs you read in Matthew are similar to the signs that you read in the book of Revelation. Do you realize that? There's actually a parallel between Matthew chapter 24 and what we find in the book of Revelation. And you can compare Matthew, you can compare Revelation, and they all point forward to one common event, and that is the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples had wondered what signs pointed to his coming. What were the things that were going to be taking place that ultimately pointed to the fact that Jesus was going to be returning soon? And they came to Jesus and they asked in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, in other words, Lord, is there any evidence in our day that you are coming soon? Is there evidence that your return might come in our lifetime? Should our hearts be with an eager anticipation for your return? We are interested in that same question this evening, aren't we? This is why we're here, because we ultimately know, we feel, we believe that something is going to take place very soon. And if it's that second coming of Jesus, then how do we know that we are headed very close to that event? Now, we want to ask Jesus, just like the disciples, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And we, just like the disciples, ask that question. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus outlines more than 20 signs of his return. More than 20 signs of his return. He said to his disciples as he overlooked Jerusalem, he says, one day, Roman soldiers will come and destroy the city. He told them that not one stone would be left upon the other. Indeed, that prophecy was fulfilled. And in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus devastated the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary, the temple, exactly as Jesus predicted. Roman armies burned the city, not leaving one stone upon another. Jerusalem was leveled to the ground, and the disciples misunderstood Jesus' words. They thought an event as catastrophic as the destruction of Jerusalem must be the end of the world. The disciples believed that Jesus was speaking of the end. And in a masterful presentation, Jesus blended both events. He gave signs of his return. Now, there are various signs, and we're going to go through these signs here this evening. Signs in the world of religion. We see signs in the world of politics. Signs in the world of nature. Signs in the world of society. He talked to his disciples about events that would lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem when Titus and the Roman armies would invade the city and destroy it. Those were miniature signs which would take place on a grander cosmic scale just before his return. Now the disciples asked the question, what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Now, the first of these signs is signs in the world of religion. Jesus said before the end that there would be false Christs and false prophets. Now, notice verse 24 of Matthew chapter 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. Before the coming of Christ, we should expect an explosion of interest in false religions. Now, let's think about this for a moment. This interest in religious things. Of course, first of all, let me ask you a question. For somebody that is deceived, do they know that they are deceived, yes or no? Absolutely not. Otherwise, the deception would utterly fail, right? And so if the enemy and his idea and his desire is to deceive us, then he's going to do his very best to do that. And remember, he's not only the master distractor, but he's the master deceiver. And so he's very good at deceiving. And so what he does, and take this for example. It is as though if I had up here, and if I had a bottle of poison, okay? If I had a bottle of poison and it clearly stated on there poison, and it had a skull, crossbones, and all of that, and I said, here, take a drink. Would you take it? Absolutely not. But what I would do, okay, is that I would take, actually, let me rephrase that. I would not do that. What the enemy would do is he would take that poison and he'd have a nice glass, refreshing glass of OJ. And he would take that poison and put in a couple of drops in it. And then he would offer us that nice, refreshing glass of orange juice. And he'd offer it to you. And, oh, that's so nice and so kind of you. Yeah, let me take that. And you drink it and what? You end up dying. That's how the enemy works, you see. And so what he does is he takes truth and he mingles it with error. And there's so much of that is going on that oftentimes, especially when it comes to religious things, that they preach Jesus Christ in many cases, but yet the teachings are not truth. Brothers and sisters, this is something that we have to be aware of. And this is why this becomes our only safeguard. This becomes what we have to do is we have to study its pages. We have to read them. We have to study them. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon our hearts and upon our minds. And as Scripture tells us, that He will teach us all things and that He will also guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will not lead us to error. He will not lead us to error. And so therefore, this is why we have in these last days false Christs and false prophets. Now, we should expect not only false Christs and false prophets, but in the Christian world, but what about the occult world? Okay, that's happening all over the place. There's this psychic phenomena, if you will, that is happening today, just as Jesus had predicted 2,000 years ago. In the United States, during the last decade, the number of people who identify themselves as belonging to the New Age movement increased, notice, 247%. 247%. And that's according to the American Religious Identity Survey. The modern occult, Wiccan, pagan, and Druid religion is now listed among the 10 largest organized religions in the country. Teens especially are attracted to these occult movements and outnumber older converts 3-1. Now, I'm going to get off on a little tangent, if that's okay with you right here. I'm going to tell you why that is the case. I believe why it's the case. And this was a phenomenon that had taken place, I'm trying to guess, maybe roughly about 20 years ago, okay? And I'm going to bring something that might be old news and so on, but I'm going to bring up the book series Harry Potter, okay? Now, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I believe with all of my heart that those books were originated from the pit of hell. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, here's why. As you look through the pages of Harry Potter, what you will find is that there is sorcery, that there is witchcraft that is through its pages. And what's interesting is that in those books, it will even give recipes, okay, for actual curses that could be cast. And the language that is used is actual language that witches use. Now, this is what it's teaching our children. Now, here's what's amazing. Okay, as you look at the premise of this book of Harry Potter, the premise is you have a boy that, if I'm trying to remember correctly, and I don't remember if he was an orphaned boy or he had been given up by his parents or something of that nature, and yet he was one that had been locked up, you know, and put into a closet, and he was mistreated and so on, and you know, he had these big glasses, and you know, he was a goofy looking boy and so on, and yet he became very powerful because of certain magic abilities and so on that he had, and therefore was able to get back at those that harmed him and did him wrong and so on. And let me tell you, that is a story that many of us resonate with, especially the young people. What is going on in schools today? There is such a thing as bullying. That's what was going on there with Harry Potter. He was one that was bullied. And let me tell you that when those bullies get their get paid what they're due, we often stand back and we say, yes, they got what they deserved. And this is what we do. And so how many of those young people are looking at Harry Potter and relating with that life? That he was an abused boy, that he was picked on, that he was ridiculed, that he was bullied. But you know what? He got back at them. And he was able to do it through sorcery, through magic, through witchcraft. And you know what? They're beginning to do that because the young people are able to do that. You know why? Because they realize that they can have access to a power that they had not had before. Now here's what where we as churches are failing. Okay? And I believe that our churches are lacking in the power of God being manifested in our midst. You know, as I look at the pages of Scripture, and Scripture tells me in John chapter 14 that as Jesus is talking about the things that he had done as far as miracles and works, he says, greater works than these you will do. You will do. And that means that, wait a minute, I saw Jesus heal a blind man. I saw Jesus make the lame to walk again. I saw Jesus, by a simple word, say, peace be still, and the storm was made calm. And Jesus is saying, greater works than these I will do, but it's not being seen, and it's not being witnessed in our churches. And this is where we have to access the power of the Holy Spirit, God's power in our churches. This is why we've got to be a people of prayer where we access that power. And if those young people are not seeing that power manifested in our churches, you know what they're doing? They're going out there and looking for it elsewhere. That's why you have the young people turning to the occult. And you see that the teens especially are attracted to them, and they outnumber older converts by 3-1. That is dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous. We should expect here in these last days an explosion in of interest in religious leaders who are leading people away from the Word of God and leading them astray by false signs and false miracles. And you know what? Let's forget the occult here for just a moment, because you know what? That might be blatant and that's obvious, and oh, I would never mess with that. But the thing is that there could be even preachers that might be leading you astray. You see, Jesus predicts that this is going to be the case just before the end of time, that false religion or false religious teachers would arise. Counterfeits are not always easy to recognize. And some of these false teachers who teach contrary to the Bible would work unusual signs and false miracles. Merely because a miracle has been worked does not mean that the one who claims to have worked the miracle is from God. There can be another source behind the miracle. Do you realize that? The Bible teaches that evil spirits can perform miracles. Notice Revelation chapter 16 and verse 14. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. So one of the things that we should anticipate before the coming of Jesus is the rise of interest in false teachers, an explosion of the number and popularity of false religious leaders that lead people from the Bible. Now, occasionally, these false religious leaders will have miraculous signs accompanying what they do. They point to these signs as evidence that what they are saying is true. But these signs will be demon-inspired to deceive men and women. Beware of any religious teacher that leads you from the Bible. Beware, brothers and sisters. If anyone comes to you, even if they claim miraculous signs and they can heal the sick, beware of these individuals. Brothers and sisters, this is what the enemy is doing here in these last days. And you see, this is what I'm going to tell you, and this could be the very best piece of advice that I can offer you throughout this entire series that we're here together. And that is, don't take anybody's word for it at all. Amen. Not even mine. Amen. Not even mine. What I would hope that you will do is that whatever I speak, whatever I preach here from this platform, that you will take those notes, go home and study it for yourself. That you will find it there in the pages of Scripture. That this isn't something that I perhaps have concocted. That this is something that I have put together of my own wisdom. No. I want to be able to be an individual that can have full confidence in the Word of God. And that means that when I proclaim it from the pulpit, that I can have confidence and assurance that it is truth. As a preacher, let me tell you, it is an awesome thing to proclaim the Word of God. And there is great condemnation upon me if I deliberately or knowingly lead you astray. Do you realize that? It is an awesome thing to be standing here. And I want to be sure that what I do is I lead you down the right path, that I share with you the Word of God and its truth as I understand it, and my hope and my prayer is that what I speak out of my mouth will be the words that are found in the pages of Scripture. And so I would encourage you each night, go through the pages of Scripture. That's why we have them up on the screen. That's why we look them up. That's why you're given notes. Go home and study for it for yourself, please. According to recent studies, listen to this. An estimated 5 to 7 million Americans have been involved in cults or cult-like groups. The total number of these groups ranges from 3,000 to 5,000. Now, it's very hard to nail down exactly, given the ranges of criteria that might be out there to identify a particular cult. But that's why you have this range from 3,000 to 5,000. It sounds like such a big range. But notice that there are approximately 180,000 new cult recruits every year. 180,000, okay? And so that means that you have people that are leading others astray. Now, for whatever purpose, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know whether they sincerely believe or whether it's something where they feel like they can make a quick buck from this and take money from people. I really don't know how that ends up happening. But because of the power of deception of the enemy, this is what's happening. Now, there are many also false religious revivals leading people away from God's word. And indeed, these prophecies are being fulfilled from Matthew chapter 24. And you see, Jesus warns us in both Matthew and in the book of Revelation that false religious teachers, as we've seen, would arise. But the most urgent warning is about the rise of the most dangerous of all false Christs, and that is the Antichrist power. The end time Antichrist impersonates Christ just like all these other false Christs. Now, this is the thing that we have to understand. False Christs, look very much like the genuine. Okay? False Christs look very much like the genuine, and the genuine being Jesus Christ. And so therefore, in order for us to be able to determine whether these teachers are true or not, is that what we have to do is we have to back it up with Jesus. Do they look like Jesus? Do they act like Jesus? Do they talk like Jesus? Do they walk like Jesus? Everything that we listen to, that we hear, and with the claims that come with them, we have to back it up again with the pages of Scripture. Just because they claim to be Christ or look like Christ or be from Christ or whatever doesn't necessarily mean it to be so. And that's why we have to be on guard to ensure that we are not deceived when that does happen. Now, notice Revelation chapter 13, and we're in a few nights, we're going to be spending a lot of time here in Revelation chapter 13, but notice something. And it speaks of this Antichrist power, and it says, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. The signs Jesus gave in the realm of religion are being fulfilled in front of our very eyes, brothers and sisters. And so this idea, notice that they're able to call fire from heaven. And well, we think about this and we can look back upon the stories of Scripture and so on, where Elijah, you remember Mount Carmel, and there with the prophets of Baal, and where Elijah called fire from heaven, and God answered his prayer, and he brought that fire and consumed that altar and the water and everything that was there. And so we see that the enemy here in these last days is going to impersonate Christ in every way, even by calling fire from heaven. We're going to move here now into the signs in the world of politics. We just saw some of the signs in the world of religion. Now, again, this is not exhaustive. Okay, there's plenty of stuff that's going on out there in the world that I'm not aware of, or that I may be aware of, but that we just don't have time to deal with it here tonight. But signs in the world of politics. Let's move on to that. Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 24, he discusses international conflict. He discusses war. Jesus predicts the very events that we see occurring around us today. His word predicts not simply that there would be a war, but war would be a way of life for millions just before his return. The scripture talks about wars, plural, and rumors of wars, or international conflict. Notice verse 6 of Matthew chapter 24. And it says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, here's the question. Haven't we always had wars and rumors of wars down through history? Well, if we've had conflict throughout the centuries, what sense does it make to say that war is a sign of the end of the world? Now, what we need to do is we need to notice very carefully that it's not speaking of war singular. It's speaking of wars plural. Okay, you notice that. The wars is plural. Wars and rumors of wars. Jesus predicted just before the end that there would be international conflicts on a global scale. In other words, there would be world wars. In fact, Jesus did not say that there would be a single war. He said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. What Jesus predicted was not a single war, but a world engulfed in war. And may I remind you that in the 20th century alone, which was the 1900s, that we had experienced World War I and we'd experienced World War II. Okay? World War I and World War II. Having launched into the 21st century, we look back on the 20th century as the bloodiest of all. Do you realize that? One sociologist estimated in the 20th century there were 180 million deaths from war alone. Jesus did not say that there would be a war, but just before his return that there would be an eruption in international conflicts around the world. And I ask you tonight, have we seen in the 20th century, in the 16 years here in the 21st century, have we seen wars? Absolutely, right? In the last 16 years we've seen it. But what about let's look back even on the 20th century and have we seen wars on a global scale? Okay, on a global scale. And I'm not just talking between two countries or whatever, and I'm just not talking simply about World War I or World War II. Now, what about the Vietnam War? Okay, there were others involved. What about the Korean War? What about the Indochina conflict? The Iran-Iraq War? Wars waged in the Middle East and tribal conflicts in Africa regularly result in the death of millions. This has been happening for years. The 20th and the 21st centuries have been engulfed in the flames of war. And today there is now a new kind of war, right? This war on terror, right? The terrorists have taken the battle to our streets here in our own nation. From Bali to Spain to London to Paris to New York City to San Bernardino. It's happening in our backyard. We think of the attempts for peace and applaud every political leader who longs for peace. But brothers and sisters, we have to understand something. We must recognize that we will never have peace until Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes. Do you realize that? The opposite side of the war coin is the emphasis of world leaders on peace. Now, world peace is very fragile. Very fragile. The Bible predicts that all human attempts to achieve world peace will fail. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. Let me give you some examples. How many times have you heard of peace treaties being signed in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Arabs? That's happened time and time again. Attempts to unite or to bring peace there to those peoples. And how many times have you heard of another peace treaty being aborted? So they try to sign it, they try to shake hands, they try to pass these treaties, and then you find that these treaties are aborted. A terrorist has blown up another car, another bus, something of that nature. The Bible says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. We're seeing these prophecies being fulfilled today. And for all of its best efforts, the United Nations has failed to achieve world peace. Brothers and sisters, what it tells us is the Bible is accurate. It speaks of our day. The Bible says that Jesus would come at a time when the human race has the potential for world destruction. Do you realize this? Look at what's happening in our world. Look at what's happening in North Korea. Have you seen the news lately on North Korea? Never before in history has the human race had the ability and the capacity to destroy itself. Do you realize that? Revelation describes it this way. Notice Revelation 11 and 8, verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who what? Destroy the earth. So when Jesus comes to give out his reward, he comes at a time when the human race has the capacity to destroy the earth. Now, today we have nuclear weaponry enough to destroy the earth multiple times over. Are we defusing the nuclear threat? Is the world safer today than 25 years ago? Time magazine ran an article that reveals the nuclear threat is not being diffused as quickly as we think. Take Russia, for example. After the fall of the former Soviet Union, the Soviet economy suffered a severe downturn. At a time when Soviet scientists and key military personnel were facing pay cuts, the temptation to sell nuclear material and plans was high. Pakistan's eminent nuclear scientist, Dr. Khan, peddled key nuclear secrets to a number of countries for personal financial gain. The television program called 60 Minutes broadcast an incredible report on Russia's secret nuclear cities. There are 10 secret cities in Russia. They're closed off to the public. And during the Soviet era, they produced plutonium, the key element for developing a nuclear bomb. Enough plutonium for one nuclear bomb is currently produced every 3 days in one of these secret cities in Russia, in Siberia. Every 3 days. Think about that. In fact, this has become such a concern that former U.S. Energy Commission leader William Richardson of the United States government expressed grave concern that terrorists and other rogue states have their eyes on Russian plutonium. The eyes of the world are on North Korea and Iran right now. Okay? And there's this tensions that are there with North Korea and South Korea in regards to this nuclear weaponry and so on that they claim to want to test and so on and so forth, and it's the tensions are running high. And they ultimately the world is fearful that they too are trying to develop these weapons of mass destruction and so on. And a number of years ago, an American newspaper columnist named Walter Lippmann made this statement. It says, "Poised on the brink of the most calamitous conflict that can be imagined, indeed it cannot even be imagined." That's why the Bible says Christ will come at a time when the human race has the ability to destroy the earth. This world is not going to be destroyed in some nuclear holocaust. Let me bring you some peace in that matter. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to be destroyed by nuclear weaponry. Amen? That's not how it's going to happen because the Bible says so. I think I hear the footsteps of Jesus coming. And as I look at these signs that are taking place in our world, and as I look at them against the pages of Scripture, I think I hear the drumbeat of the coming of our Lord. Time is not some cyclical event with no terminal point. There is an end point, brothers and sisters. Jesus said that a time will come in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26 where men's hearts are failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. God says, don't look around you. Don't look around you. You don't worry about these things that are happening. Ultimately, look up, for the coming of our Lord draws nigh. Jesus says, get your eyes off of the earth and focus them on the divine reality that I am about to return. I am about to come back, and heaven's rescue mission is going to be put into full effect for the salvation of mankind, and He is going to rescue His people. And I have a confidence that I will be among them. Because why? Remember last night? He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've chosen Jesus. I've made Jesus to be my forever faithful friend, to be the one that sits upon the throne of my heart. And as He sits upon the throne of my heart, that gives me the confidence, the assurance that life is mine. And that when Jesus comes pushing through the corridors of the sky, that He will rescue me. I will be among them. Will you? That's the question. Will you be there? As long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you can be there as well. Revelation reveals that there is hope. That's what we've been talking about throughout these presentations, that there is a hope that the book of Revelation offers, that it gives. There are signs in the world of religion, signs in the world of politics, and now we're going to move on to the signs of the world of nature. The Bible predicts that all nature will be out of control just before the coming of Jesus. We should expect tornadoes, fires, floods, hurricanes, and an epidemic of destruction that we can hardly imagine. What about famine? Among these natural disasters is the Bible's prediction for worldwide hunger and famine. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. But haven't we always had famines? Haven't there always been hungry children? We've always had famines, for sure. There have always been hungry children down through the ages, but here's the difference. Jesus didn't predict a famine, but he said that there would be, again, plural, famines, plural. Famines on an international scale, hunger on an unprecedented scale just before the coming of Jesus. And as we look out over our world, indeed, this prophecy, as others, is being fulfilled. The United Nations reported recently that there is a severe food shortage in 38 of the major countries of the world. Now, I recognize that most of us in the United States go home, and honestly, you realize that this is changing dramatically as well, even in the United States. Now, I'll with confidence assume that that we go home on each evening or whatever, and we have a meal that we can prepare, that we've got food perhaps in our refrigerators and in our cabinets and so on. But the thing is that, you know what, maybe I'll say for some of us, we've got too much food, right? But you know what? It's hard to imagine those children whose stomachs cry out for food. We have to do what we can, of course, to help feed everyone we can, but the figures are still staggering. And the only hope is the coming of the Lord. And what's interesting is that, you know, you talk about, you know, some of the things that the decisions that have been made, let's say in our political world and specifically here in the United States and so on. And you talk about certain budgets, let's say when it pertains to health care or this or that. And I've heard statistics that some of the things are getting passed in our legislation as far as budgets are concerned, that if they were to be redirected, that we could actually end world hunger. Okay, which is quite fascinating. Okay, but yet we have chosen to spend those monies in other things and elsewhere and so on and so forth. And so those that need the help aren't getting the help that they need. And so everything, you know, we can do all that we can, but the thing is that, again, those figures are absolutely staggering. And the only hope is the coming of our Lord. Look at this. 1/6 of the world's population will go hungry tonight. 1/6. Now think about this, okay? We're not just talking about millions of people. We're talking about billions of people, okay? If we're talking that our world, you know, currently right now has over 7 billion people, that means over a billion people tonight will go hungry. And it is staggering when you look at the immensity of a world famine. Jesus' prediction regarding famine is coming true with uncanny accuracy. 10,000 people per day, 3.5 million people per year die of starvation. There are more and more people to feed and less food to feed them. Then he said that there would be pestilences. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7 again. There will be famines, pestilences. What's a pestilence? What is a pestilence? Well, pestilence is a disease. It's a strange disease which afflicts human beings, crops, the environment. They can result from natural causes or be triggered from the carelessness of human beings. Matthew chapter 24 says that there will be famines and pestilences. Now this prophecy is being rapidly fulfilled. Now think of these diseases. Now this is from a few years ago, and mad cow disease, bird flu, HIV, AIDS, Marburg virus, Lyme disease. But you know what? There's been more and more that has been talked about in our news even lately, as of within the last couple of weeks. And you're talking Zika virus, okay? You're talking Ebola has made a comeback, if you will, in more developed nations, and it's come here even to the United States. There's something that is happening. There is something that is happening here in our world. And you know, oftentimes we look at it and we wonder, why are these things happening? Well, we know why they are happening. The Bible tells us why they are happening. This is no secret, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is coming soon. And the signs and the signals and the warnings of His coming are being clearly seen all around us. These prophecies, they're being fulfilled. Another source of pestilence is pollution of the environment, which causes many health problems. You know, and of course, this is something that we Californians, okay, are fighting, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about with this pollution of the environment and so on, and what we're seeing. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports this. 2.4 billion pounds of toxic pollutants cause an estimated 50,000 to 120,000 premature deaths each year. We have pollution, pollution of our air. We have pollution of our waterways, pollution of the land. Our oceans and our forests are being rapidly destroyed, and often our very food is tainted with some toxic chemical pollution. And recently, 104 Nobel Prize-winning scientists, plus more than 1,500 prominent international scientists, signed a document entitled Warning to Humanity. They declared, no more than one or a few decades remain before the chance to avert the new threats we now confront will be lost, and the prospects of humanity immeasurably diminished. Jesus said also that there would be earthquakes, right? Matthew 24:7, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of shaking going on in our world, isn't there? There really is. The Bible predicts that there will be this shaking. As a matter of fact, I came here just a few nights ago, and there was one here in Templeton, right? We felt it. We felt it. Many of us did. And it reveals that what's happening in our world, that there will be an unprecedented rise in earthquakes just before our Lord's return. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us about the greatest earthquake that will ever hit this planet. Notice Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. And such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. You know, for years, California, we've been talking about the big one. Remember, you know what I'm talking about, right? Southern California, this big one was supposed to have come and so on. Well, the big one has not come, and the big one is coming, as the Bible talks about. But that's going to be within the context of the second coming of Jesus. But previous to this time, thousands of earthquakes all over the world will foretell His return. These earthquakes will come unexpectedly, swiftly, in rapid succession, without any warning. Earthquakes are powerful omens of the coming of our Lord. Now, the Bible predicts that we won't have fewer earthquakes. We'll have more. Are earthquakes increasing? Absolutely they are. There are, and this is from a few years ago, 35 earthquakes a day and 12,000 to 14,000 a year. Now, I'm going to go back to that. 35 earthquakes a day. Honestly, the ground is very unstable. Okay, and here in California, you can actually get online and you can look as to where There are detecting shakings and stuff going on. And whether those are considered earthquakes or not, that I'm not quite sure when it comes to this particular statistic. Because if this is, we're talking worldwide here. And so I'm assuming that there are significant shaking of the earth where people feel it and so on, that this is talking about as far as these 35 earthquakes a day and 12,000 to 14,000 per year. Notice Luke 21, verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. This upheaval in nature will reveal itself in various ways. Hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes. They will manifest themselves in rapid succession, and we've seen this all over the news. Luke 21 and verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. In the vast forested areas of the West Coast, millions of American acres have been consumed by fires out of control. We've had a problem with that here in California in recent years. Because nature is out of control, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, famines, fires, floods, these natural disasters have resulted in billions of dollars of damage and taken countless lives. Think of it. People grasping for their children, looking at homes destroyed, crying out. It seems today that all of nature is out of control. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, famines, fires, floods. What on earth is going on? It seems that all of earth is crying out for deliverance. Major tsunamis have increased around the world. And although they've created devastation and so on, it was minor compared to the Asian tsunami disaster on December 26, 2004. You remember that? A 9.1 magnitude earthquake. Over 230,000 were killed almost instantly. The damage was indescribable. Hundreds of thousands were made homeless. Relief efforts could not keep up with the incredible need. The Bible describes fearful sights in the heavens. In 2005, the Atlantic hurricane season had the most named storms in history. Hurricane Katrina, the costliest storm in history, over $75 billion in damage, and the economic impact, $250 billion. These natural disasters are signs that the return of Jesus is very soon. All of the earth is crying out, and it's crying out, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Hearts are indeed failing them for fear, for the expectations of those things that are coming on the earth. We've seen an increase in the signs that Jesus foretold all around us. When you look at our world today, it does seem that nature is out of control. But you see, brothers and sisters, those of us who have a confidence in the Bible, a confidence in the Word of God, believe that these signposts, that these are just simply signposts along the way. These are labor pains. Earth is having these labor pains. And soon Jesus will come, not as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but as earth's rightful ruler and King of kings and Lord of lords. And we've seen what the Bible says regarding the signs of Jesus Christ coming in the world of religion. We've seen it in terms of the world of politics and also in the world of nature. Now let's look at his predictions in regards to social life around us. Our Lord predicted the moral fabric of society would fall apart just before the return of Jesus Christ. Moral decay and corruption would be prevalent everywhere. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, what's wrong with eating and drinking? Well, nothing. What's wrong with marrying and giving in marriage? Well, nothing. But this passage describes a people who continued living self-centered, godless lives. They took eating and drinking to excess. Pleasure dominated their lives, and they ignored the signs of the times. Noah proclaimed, "A flood is coming." Noah pointed to the decay of morality of the society of that time. He indicated that a flood was coming, and yet the people of his day continued to live very self-centered lives. They were not spiritually moved. They did not repent of their sins. Their minds were too preoccupied. They were enchanted with the here and now. Eternity was crowded out of their thinking. Now, what about today? Jesus predicted that there would be loose morality at the end of time, just like it was in the days of Noah. When Jesus uses the phrase marrying and giving in marriage to describe not only a complacent attitude toward moral living and spiritual things in general, but he was also predicting the breakup of the family unit. Complacent attitude toward spiritual things and moral living. Now, let me just talk about this breakup of the family unit for just a moment. Do you realize that there was a study that was done, this was back in the 1940s, that there was a book that was written, and for the life of me, I can't remember the author's name, but he was a professor, and I believe in Harvard or something of that nature, and he wrote a book based on his study on the rise and fall of civilizations, okay? And he looked over thousands of years of history to the rise and fall of nations. And so one of the things that he found that was to be characteristic of the fall of a nation was the breakup of the family unit. That the breakup of the family unit correlated with the fall of a nation. Now, here's something else that's very interesting. And that is that the average length of a nation from its inception, from its birth to its fall, was roughly about 200 years. Now, the reason I bring this up is think about us as the United States. Right now, we are on borrowed time. We are on borrowed time. And if we're looking at the breakup of the family unit and what is happening in our homes, then that will correlate to ultimately the decline and the fall of the nation. Of the nation. Now, let's look at some of these things, and we're going to look at some of these statistics and so on. Let's do some statistics regarding births to unmarried women in America today. Births to unmarried women in the USA. Notice the rise from 1960 to 70 to 80, 95, notice 2004. This chart shows the dramatic increase over the last 40 years or so, we're talking 50 years now roughly, of a third of all babies are born to unmarried women. Okay? In fact, in Western society, typically one out of two or 50% of marriages end in divorce. And the rate is even as high as 75% in some countries. The devil is angry with the family unit, and he is seeking to destroy the family unit. The U.S. Census Bureau of 2005, the American Community Survey, shows that 50.3% of households are headed by unmarried people. 50.3% of households. 46.9% of people over age 15 are unmarried, and 31.7% of children live in unmarried households. And this trend is rapidly spreading around the world. The biblical model for the family is being shattered in modern society. These prophecies are being fulfilled again before our very eyes tonight. But what a tragedy that love has degenerated into sexual immorality in so many cases. And you see, this is something that the enemy is going to attack with great fervor. Now, if the Bible says that God is love, His love is the purest form of all loves. And what the enemy is going to do is he's going to bring about an impure love to try to hide and mask the pure love of God. And so this is why we see this immorality that is happening all over the place, this sexual immorality. And what a tragedy that homes are breaking up as a result. We can thank God that whatever circumstances that you find yourself in tonight, even if you are one of those statistics that we have just looked at, that God can heal your heart, can heal my heart, can heal our children's hearts, can heal our parents' hearts. God can give you a new sense of His love and His care. He will put His arms around you. He offers you a new future. Amen? Whatever mistakes you may have made, God can forgive and He can give you a new start. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? If we could go back and live in Noah's day, what would it be like? I would have to tell you that I believe it would be very much like what we see here today. We live in a world that is rising in crime and violence. Notice Genesis 6, 5 and 6 about what was happening there at that time. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now think about our day. This is Noah's day, but let's think about our day. Many recognize the harmful effects of society of all the sexual immorality on television, magazines, movies, the internet. And certainly it is fair to describe much of society as the intents of the heart are only evil continually. The Bible says, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Genesis chapter 6, 11 and 12, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. In Noah's day, God destroyed the world with a flood because it was filled with violence. Is our earth filled with violence today? Is it a global concern? Absolutely. Are world governments concerned about violence? Absolutely they are. The World Health Organization has revealed just how great a problem violence is on a global scale. The first ever world report on violence had produced some shocking statistics, and this was back in 2002. Each year, more than 1.6 million people worldwide lose their lives to violence. Many more are injured and suffer from a range of physical, sexual, reproductive, and mental health problems. Violence is among the leading causes of death for people aged 15 to 44 years worldwide, accounting for about 14% of deaths among males and 7% of deaths among females. About some facts about television. Children watch an average of 3 hours of TV a day. By age 12, they have seen 14,000 murders on television. There are increases of violence by 5%, foul language 30%, and sexual content 42%. You know, the Bible speaks of by beholding, we become changed. And if we are beholding the things that are being depicted on television, then what do you suppose we are going to become? What do you suppose we are going to be changed into? There's crime, there's violence, there is all of that happening. What is interesting is that some of the most despicable, disgusting crimes that are being committed in our world today are being done by young people. Have you noticed that? A lot of them being done by young people. You have children carrying guns to school. Okay, you have a lot of just filth that is happening. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to just say this. Okay. And I believe that once again, that this is another way that the enemy is attacking the home and attacking the family unit. And especially, I'm going to speak to the brothers. Brothers, more so today than ever before, pornography has become incredibly available. more so than ever before. And that means that if it's readily available, that it's easily accessible by internet, by other means, and so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, this is something that plagues many homes. And many times we think, well, it doesn't affect my home, it doesn't affect my marriage, it doesn't, you know, and it's a private sin, I do it privately, nobody knows, and usually this is a private sin. But what we don't realize is that it does have an effect upon our relationships. It has an effect upon our marital experience, the intimacies that we have with our spouses, and not only that, but how we relate even to our children. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. We are seeing these things fulfilled before our very eyes. The Bible also predicts economic uncertainty as a sign of the last days. Notice James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and it describes it this way. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. James 4 and 5 continues. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you've kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And you have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Notice Revelation 18 and verse 17. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Jesus is coming. These prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Signs are being fulfilled. False Christs and prophets, wars and rumors of wars, cries for peace but no peace, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, sexual immorality, homes falling apart, violence filling our lands, economic uncertainty, all the signs are fulfilled. But there are two more signs which will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that indeed we are living in the very last days of this earth's history. Jesus said just before the end of time, just before his coming, knowledge would be increased. Now, this is found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and notice, and knowledge shall increase. Knowledge would be increased. Now, anyone who thinks that knowledge has not increased is sleeping through the computer age. Now, knowledge is exploding today. And a few years ago, you may have been using a fountain pen or a typewriter or whatever it might be. And now we send and receive gigabytes of information anywhere in the world instantly. Knowledge is being increased dramatically. And 90% of all scientists and technicians that have ever lived are living today. Do you realize that? Now, every time you click on a computer and you go to the internet, you see an explosion of knowledge. Every time you push that computer mouse, it is an indication that we are living on the verge of a kingdom of God, that Jesus is soon to come. Now, Daniel 12 and verse 4, it says, knowledge shall increase. Now, we're going to take this a step further because, yes, we can say that knowledge around the world and knowledge is increasing and so on and so forth. But when the Bible speaks of this knowledge being increased, it is talking about something more than intellectual knowledge, more than scientific knowledge. It is talking about a knowledge of the gospel of Christ. Did you notice that the text says that men are running to and fro and knowledge shall increase? You know how I interpret that? That people are running to and fro through the pages of Scripture. And you know what? This has increased over the last 150 years and even a bit longer than that. But you see, people have been studying the pages of Scripture and the prophecies of the book of Daniel and prophecies of the book of Revelation. And it's interesting because they're going back and forth. And God is giving them a knowledge that we have never had into the Word of God. Do you realize that? God is removing his hand from certain texts and certain places of scripture so that we could understand things that people did not understand before. Do you realize that as Daniel was seeing these prophecies, as God was giving him these visions, do you realize that Daniel did not understand what he was seeing? He was simply told, you know what, write it down. Write it down, what you would see. And the thing is that it troubled him because he didn't understand it. He wanted so badly to understand it. Do you realize that we are understanding prophecies today that Daniel did not understand? And he's the one that saw it. We're seeing things happening today, Bible fulfilled, and we're seeing it because of the increase of knowledge into the Word of God. Just before the return of our Lord, the gospel will be preached into all the world, is what Scripture tells us. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Notice Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. In Revelation, Jesus says that you will know that we have come to the end by the final sign. When you see the gospel going quickly around the world, this prophecy is rapidly being fulfilled today. Come with me and witness for yourself what God is doing. God is on the move. God is working miracles around the world today. His Holy Spirit is being poured out. In the Philippines, thousands of people are coming to Christ and being baptized. God is on the move. The gospel is going to the world. Come with me to Africa. A spiritual revival is taking place in most countries of Africa. God is doing something unusual. Again, thousands of people are coming to know who Jesus Christ is. Prophecy is being fulfilled. God is on the move. In former communist lands, God is working miracles. The Berlin walls have crumbled. The Iron Curtain has come down. Totalitarian regimes are no more. In Romania, Yugoslavia, Hungary, Poland, Russia, God is doing something amazing. The gospel is going forward in power, and tens of thousands of people are responding to God's call. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Do you realize that even in places like Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Iraq, that God is moving in those countries as well? You know, a lot of the news that comes out of those countries is ISIS and killings and murders and beheadings and all of these things. But do you realize that God is at work in those countries? It is amazing that some of the stories that are coming out, that there are people that are receiving visions and they're coming to Christ because God is moving upon their hearts. And it's amazing how they're turning to the Lord. And unfortunately, they're having to worship underground behind closed doors, and they have to be silent even in their singing. And it's amazing, again, what God is doing. And he's been opening up doors in incredible ways so that people will come to know who he is. God is on the move. In the former communist lands, all of that is being done away with. And we see that God is not held back by any communism, that he is not held back by anything that would prevent the Word of God from going forward. I've heard of stories where there was an individual that's passionate coming from the Ukraine, and he wanted to take Bibles into the country, but you know what? It was not allowed. And so he what he did is he stuck a bunch of Bibles that he wanted to take into the country, and he put them into the trunk. And the thing was that he was praying to God, God, please let there not be a checkpoint. Let there not be a checkpoint, because if they catch me with these Bibles, they will confiscate it and perhaps even throw me into prison. And so what happened was is that as he was driving, sure enough, there was a checkpoint. They stopped him. They stopped him. He had a trunk full of Bibles. They told him, open up your trunk. He did so hesitantly. He opened up his trunk. The police officers went to the trunk. They looked into the trunk. They looked in and they closed the trunk. You're all clear. Go on. Go on ahead. God had hid those Bibles from their view. And they were able to take those Bibles into the country. You see, God is doing something. He's not going to be stopped by a police officer. He is not going to be stopped by government laws and agencies. He's not going to be stopped by any of that. God can move through any obstacle, and he will see that his work is finished here in these last days. And you see, God is on the move. Prophecy is being fulfilled all around the world. God is doing something special. He is fulfilling his word, brothers and sisters. We are on the verge of God's kingdom. And that's my hope that we realize here tonight, that Jesus is coming soon. And that's why there's all these signs, these signals, these warnings. And you know what? We haven't even scratched the surface here tonight as to what's happening in our world. And what this just shows is that Jesus is coming. You know what scripture tells me? Jesus is not coming soon. He's coming now. He's coming now. Scripture says that his coming is even at the doors. That's how close his coming is. And my hope and my prayer is that as we realize that there are things that are happening in our world, that it just simply points to the idea, Jesus, you are coming. And you know what? The book of Revelation, as the book of Revelation, the entire Bible closes, there is a statement that is made, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's how the Bible ends. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And as you experience your test, your trials, your circumstances of life, I'm sure that with that same fervor in your heart, that you can then say as well, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I want to thank you so much because you've made provision that we would know what's happening. Lord, we are not left in the dark. We're not clueless as to what's happening. You have told us what would be taking place here in these last days. And as we look around, we see all of these signposts and we see this happening and that happening. And we look back to the pages of Scripture and we see that this is what Jesus spoke of. This is what he talked about. And we can see that prophecy is being fulfilled in our very day, right before our very eyes. God, I want to thank you because not only have you given us these signposts, but you've given us the map, the Word of God, of how to traverse through all of this. And I thank you that you can give us a confidence, a peace, a hope, that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And that in the midst of all of this, that you hold us firmly in the palm of your hand. And that there is none that can snatch us out. Thank you so much for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.